Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Internet Dating, a topic that we know almost nothing about. For more information about the links and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Turn down the gain on that one.
Yeah. Peter's a little bit on sugar this morning. Hello, Peter.
That wasn't sugar.
Hello, my geeklings. Welcome back to another episode of Geeks On, in case you didn't understand the shouting.
An early morning episode of Geeks On, now with Blofeld.
For us.
I like how you guys are sort of, you have the pets on your lap and you're petting them. It's very James Bond.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm Mr. Claw.
No, Mr. Bond, I want you to die.
It's Dr. No and Dr. I Decline.
Did I send you guys that episode of yes. The Inspector Gadget thing?
Yeah. That is hysterical.
Okay. That was hilarious. Inspector Gadget as the Terminator. That was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets infected with something that turns him into the Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So, hi. Welcome back to Geeks On. My name is Don. I'm a video game professional and writer here in Hollywood, and I am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Peter, and I am a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Hi, my name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a filmmaker and graphic designer here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Yay!
Welcome, everybody.
To Geeks On.
So,
how many times have we announced our show this morning?
We need to announce it as many times as possible.
How was everybody's geek week? Anything geeky going on?
A lot of video games. I was just playing video games and playing video
really?
Games, playing video games at like very, very early points of the morning. Playing Civ, playing Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, you did get Civ working.
I did Civ working. That did all was almost English. It was so close, and then it fell off at the end.
I don't see what you guys get out of Civ. I'm trying to get
through it. You have played 5 minutes of the tutorial.
It's almost unbearable at that point.
If you're going to judge the game by its tutorial,
yeah, but
I will mock you.
Most of the time, I'm intrigued by a tutorial about what the upcoming game is going to be like. This is like Dread.
You're not big into the strategy games, though, right? The turn-based strategy.
Apparently not.
Well, because
do it on a board game. I love it. I could do an eight-hour game.
I got to tell you that Civ. I have not played this most recent version, but Civ is one of the great games of all time.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's really fun. Okay.
Consistently on every top 10 games list, Civ is usually in the top 3, maybe 4 if it's sort of console heavy.
Yeah.
It's also it's terrible looking. I mean, the graphics are terrible.
Yeah, but
it's not a graphics game.
You got to think of it more like a board game.
Yeah, it's a lot more like a board game.
You really, how great are the graphics on Railroad Tycoon? I mean, it's like,
there's some great board games out there.
Well, the video game, they're actually quite good.
Why?
Have you even built a World Wonder yet?
Have
you gotten to that point?
Aaron, some type of obelisk.
Have you even built a World Wonder?
No.
Well, then, I wouldn't
last
be
I
judging
you,
if you haven't even built a World
last I
Wonder.
Talked to you, you had only one town. And you were complaining about how long it took you to build a warrior.
Yeah, it took me like 4 turns to build a warrior. I'm like, you got to be kidding
me. Okay, so you had to click the mouse 4 times to build a warrior. Now, keep in mind, this is a game where you're going to be managing many cities.
All right.
So later on, when they're all producing warriors, you're going to be up to your ears in warriors. You're going to be wondering where they all came from.
Got it.
I mock you.
Looking game.
All right. I'm up to my ears in Warriors.
We did play Railroad Tycoon.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Which I don't think it was. I thought
that was a lot of fun.
Sadly, I won.
Oh yeah, Matt.
Yeah,
whooped our.
Who let the Chinese guy play?
Let the Chinese guy play the railroad game.
Matt's like getting his ass handed to him, and all of a sudden here he comes with like this railroad straight across the mountains where he like. He like borrows like $14 billion to do it. And the next thing we know, we're all like, what the hell happened?
Yeah. I'm thinking that's the dumbest thing. He's taking out that big of a loan.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, come on. And then you completed two large
Railroad projects.
Railroad projects.
Well, in my mind, it made sense because there were only two ways to cross. One was across the mountains, and once one person did it, no one else was going to.
Yeah, that's why Don and I both tried to control that point.
Well, I understand building a track and owning the track, but he spent that. I didn't know that he was going to complete those two runs.
Right.
So I was like, okay, you're going to spend that much money in debt to build that, to be the first person.
So for those of you who are not familiar with Railroad Tycoon, the basic premise of the game is you're building railroad lines across the eastern part of the United States.
Pretty much.
And the object of the game is to move goods from point A to point B, sell them, and make money.
And eventually connect to the Western Connection.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like, you know, an earth-shatteringly amazing game when you describe it like that. But it's a fun game. I would play it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't play with that many people.
Now, I'll tell you what's interesting.
You're right.
I mean, Aaron and I have also played another, when we've spoken about this before, another railroad game before. Mm-hmm. What was that called?
Iron Dragon.
Iron Dragon?
Yeah.
It's a fantasy one.
What was fun about it was that you're moving things like dragons and, you know.
Some poor martial arts board game is, like, missing its title now.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But that game was so awful and so difficult because literally in that game, when you're moving things, you had to. When you picked up something, you literally had to open up a book or look at a chart to figure out where you were moving it to.
And cut.
I mean, it took forever to figure out where you were going to get stuff. Now, this is a really great game. It's really easy. You know, all the pieces are, you know, when you pick something up, it's color-coded, and you just look for a city that has
the only
that
problem
color
is
it.
They have that dumb color-coding.
Well, the printing, that's actually, if you go online, everyone complains that the printers
screwed it up
so that the purple and the blue look exactly the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a problem.
Stupid
but anyway.
Purple people.
I would play it with four people. Yeah. Like a,
yeah, it was a little pushed.
Yeah.
With that.
All right. Well, let's do some geek news.
I'm actually gearing up for Geek Week. That makes me happy.
Ooh, what's your Geek Week?
In celebration of upcoming Halloween, which I just haven't felt the spirit for at all, I just geared up my Netflix list to send me every single horror movie that I ever wanted to see that I haven't gotten around to.
Excellent.
So,
and everybody else isn't doing that? You're not on a giant wait list?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, one of the ones I wanted, and I can't remember which one it was unavailable. So I'm stuck with Ju-on the Grudge, Ringu, and I think Jeepers Creepers is coming.
Let me know how Ringu is. Because my cousin told me it was far scarier than The Ring, and that the girl in it was so much more terrifying than the girl who was in it.
What I've been told is that it's it depends on your mentality. Like, there are different – it depends how you think. You know, apparently to the Asian mentality, Ringu is terrifying. But most Americans watch the tape and just go, what am I looking at?
What is it? Just like some sort of condemning mother the whole time? Yeah.
Play your violin now.
Damn. Why?
All right. So we're about to do geek news.
Let's do some geek news. I got a Hollywood Reporter several weeks ago, and I've been meaning to bring this up before, but I will do it now. They always have a section, I think it's once a month or maybe once a quarter, where they list all the films that are in pre-production, and preparation.
Correct.
And so I'm going to read some of the geeky ones to you guys, and so you can see what is in the future in the movie world here. So these are, let's see, these are in production right now.
Brilliant.
Journey 3D.
Whoa, wait a second. Like the band Journey?
I don't think so.
Not the band.
I don't think so.
Okay.
What's it about? Does it say?
What's that?
Does it give any type of description of it? Or is it
cast as Brendan Fraser, Joss Hutcherson, Anita Bream.
It's the band.
So I'm not sure.
Who knows? All right. So what's
okay,
the next one?
The Transformers, which we know about. Jumper.
Jumper?
What's Samuel L. Jackson. It's a Samuel L. Jackson movie.
What's Jumper about? People jumping from body to body?
Not sure.
No, it's probably him as a police negotiator trying to get someone off a ledge.
Yeah, this thing doesn't give you any information except for who you can contact if you want to be in the production.
Then how do you know that it's geeky?
Because it says action, adventure, sci-fi, thriller.
Trying to jump off a ledge with a jetpack.
That's what it is. Rocketeer 2.
Right. The Children of Men. coming out.
That's hard, actually.
Pirates of the Caribbean 3, we all know about that.
Excellent.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
My friend Reggie is in Pirates 3. He actually was in Pirates 2. He was the guy who kept on getting his head cut off. And he's the sort of shell dude with the shell face. So he's
like
willing
to be able to tell the shell guy.
Exactly. He's willing to come on the show at some point. We want to get a Pirates
interview.
Guy.
Shell guy. Shell okay. Guy. Day of the Dead.
Good.
Cool. I don't know. That's already been done, hasn't it?
Is there an afternoon?
It's a
okay.
Is there an afternoon of the dead?
No.
We have day, night. I'm just wondering if we have sort of high tea of the dead.
Day was supposed to be the end of the trilogy, but City apparently is now the end of the...
City is now the end of the quad.
Yeah, the quad.
City of the Dead.
Though apparently they're talking about possibly doing another one after City now.
What do you mean possibly?
It made money.
Town.
The deaths.
Nation of...
The Deaths of Ian, which is a horror film. 1408, a horror film with John Cusack, Samuel L. Jackson, Kate Walsh. Hey. Freezer Burn, which is a sci-fi comedy.
Okay.
Kind of sounds like Sleeper.
Yeah, no, it's going to be another one where someone is like accidentally cryogenically frozen in the 60s and wakes up now.
Right. Grindhouse, which is a horror.
I hope you're right.
Heroes of Shaolin.
Okay. We should actually predict what these movies are at some point. We should get this list again and then do what we think these movies are going to be based on the titles.
And then later we can do a retrospective and come back to it.
Yes.
There's one called The Untitled Sunshine Project. It doesn't have a title yet, but it does have Michelle Yeoh in it.
Gigantic town
on it
of sunshine that incinerates people. And Michelle Yeoh has to go and beat the shit out of the sunshine people. And then give them all orange juice.
You're writing scripts right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is good.
How's Shrek, that going?
How's the script writing going?
Be afraid.
Shrek
Be
the
very
Third,
afraid.
Which we all knew was probably coming. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I can tell you what that one's about, too. Shrek Goes to Camelot.
Oh, that's fun.
Last one?
No.
Shrek Goes to Camelot. I think he has to go. It might have something to do with the young King Arthur, in fact.
Oh, you mean Camelot? Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Camelot.
Oh, you mean Camelot.
Camelot.
You mean literally Camelot.
Oh, I thought you were talking about camels, like the desert.
No, the last one he went to, like you know, big castle, nice king, lots of knights.
Right, you know. Okay.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, the CG movie.
Yeah, that looks great.
The trailer or teaser looks freaking awesome.
I'm out of curiosity, did anyone else have this experience when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 came out? No, 3 has already been out.
Which one?
Yeah.
Well, they had a trailer out for it, right?
Yeah.
That started with, like, you know, the low thrum of music.
Right.
Right? And then you just see this large windswept plane, a red sun just beginning to rise, you know, clouds, thundering hooves. And then you see this army of, like, Japanese archers come over the horizon. You see a samurai pulling out the sword. And at that point, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm like, what the hell is coming up? This looks so cool. And then the camera pulls out, and there are four turtles riding towards you on horseback. And I'm like, you freaking pricks! That looked awesome!
And then cut.
If you want to talk about what looks awesome... I mean, what looks breathtakingly awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what looks amazingly, fantastically, just stupendously awesome.
So good, you're saying.
The 300.
The 300.
The freaking 300, yeah. Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You haven't seen the trailer. I can tell from watching the blank look on your face.
No. When I was doing all the Renaissance stuff, 300 was always right next to it. You know, so they're. I think they've got their eye on each other as far as competition goes.
Yeah. Hmm. 300 is bad.
Looks good. Looks pretty darn good.
All right, here's films in pre-production. Fantastic Four 2.
Oh, yes! I am so excited about that!
Can't we just make Jessica Alba disappear for real?
Bunny Man, the horror movie.
Bunny Man?
Bunny Man.
Yeah, that's a sequel to Donnie Darko.
I don't know. There's no one cast yet.
I was kidding.
Doomsday, sci-fi action horror.
Superman gets killed.
These are films in preparation. The Acquisition.
It's all about my
Donald
audit.
Trump. Salvation.
It's all about Mel Gibson.
Case 39.
Again, my audit.
We, or OUI, Operation Unilateral Intercourse. It's a thriller.
Negotiations in Iran.
Yep, I thought it was about Larry Flint.
Carver, Primal Scream, Zombie Nation.
There's one for you.
Zombie Nation. That's number. See, it is.
Nation. I need more zombies.
Alien versus Predator 2.
Oh fudge.
Whack whack. Rush Hour 3.
Oh, okay. I take some Jackie.
Some more Jackie, please.
Tekken.
I'm listening to the words.
What?
The movie.
What?
Tekken the movie.
Tekken the movie?
Tekken.
You gotta go out for Hwarang.
Action, adventure, sci-fi is what they say.
You go out for Hwarang, I'll go out for the sumo guy.
Hwarang? Well, I'm not. Well, I'll probably go out for Law.
Horrorween.
Oh, yeah.
Horrorween is one.
Horrorween?
The Strangers. The Dark Knight. Hellboy 2. And I think that's the only thing on the list here that seemed interesting.
Okay, of course, I'm going to contribute the one that I auditioned for yesterday. I've told all you guys about this.
Can you
this.
Do that without getting
yeah,
in trouble?
Yeah, no, or? Absolutely, absolutely. It's out. They're telling it. It's called The Rage and the Fury. I auditioned for the lead, and the lead is Bruce Lee. I will be playing Bruce Lee.
If you get the part.
I get the part.
But you're not playing Bruce Lee.
Not only is he... He's playing part of Bruce Lee. Yes. Not only am I playing Bruce Lee, I'm playing part of Bruce Lee. Because what they want to do is take the body of a martial artist or an actor and CGI on the head of Bruce Lee.
Now, wait a minute. You're not playing... You wouldn't be playing Bruce Lee. You'd be playing a character as if Bruce Lee played it.
He's playing Bruce Lee playing a character.
Not so, because he's what they're Bruce going Lee's- to do, I'm assuming, is they're going to take Bruce Lee saying shit from his other films and edit it into...
Use an impersonator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but...
Or use an impersonator.
But you'd be playing another character.
Yeah, I had to give
You'd be playing Bruce Lee playing a character.
Yeah, I had to do the Be Like the Nature of Water speech yesterday.
I have a feeling I would be so angry. Because, like, just watching, like, the Audrey Hepburn Gap commercial right now, it enrages me.
That's a great ad, though.
Well, everybody's coming back. Marilyn, want to do a Marilyn Monroe movie?
God. I was so pissed off when, like, they had Fred Astaire dancing with a mop.
With a vacuum cleaner. Yeah, that was, like, crazy.
Just go pee on their graves already.
Don?
I already did.
Be like the nature of water.
I'm discussing dead water.
Be the nature of water.
Pee like the nature of water.
All right, I'm done.
Peter?
That's news for me.
Okay. Google releases Code Search. In the past, we've seen that there's different types of Google searches you can do. You can search for news. You can search, you know, for websites. You can search for images. Well, now they have a new thing that helps developers. It's Google Code Search. You can search on the internet for any type of a code. Now, of course, there's some
So does this mean that you can search, like, programs?
You can search.
Because, like, I have all these programs which run on my computer, and I'm like, what the hell does that do? Mm-hmm. Because I don't know. It's running in the background, and it's irritating.
No, this is searching for, like, code, like chunks of code.
Specific
chunks of code. And it's, you know, it's a great thing. Of course, you know, whenever you have something new like this come out, mm-hmm. it may have unanticipated consequences. So they found that there's all sorts of things that have been put up on the internet that were in code that, you know, people wouldn't have found or accessed before, that suddenly you're finding people put up password information, proprietary code, you know, all sorts of, you know, security stuff that shouldn't have been put
up.
You know, so it's like, but you know.
Team Fortress 2. Gears of War, I hear, got released. Mm-hmm. God, this is like,
how do you do that?
Bad.
I'll email it to you. I'll email you the game, and we'll work on it at your house.
They've got FTP sites up. People are transferring files back and forth because people are working at home. People are working here. There's a network company network with hundreds of computers, and there's FTP, you know, open this, open that, and somebody got in. Or I worked for a company where we had sensitive material that they didn't want released at any time, and a company was supposed to give us some assets to work with. This company, well, they got the address wrong and they downloaded it to somebody else.
Oops.
And then the call is up, hey, did you get those files yet? I'm like, nope, we didn't get them yet. And they ended up on the internet.
Oh.
Wow.
So it was just a mistake. They just transferred it to a wrong server. And
they put the wrong number in or something.
I'm not sure exactly how they did it. But, yeah.
Not so. Very good.
Excellent. So set checkbooks to stunned.
Sorry.
There's a Trekkie who played 308,000 pounds for a model of the Enterprise.
God.
Yeah. An unnamed Trekkie has coughed it up for a model of the Starship Enterprise. The Daily Telegraph reports the 78-inch space vessel, which made its television debut in 87 and was also used in the pilot and title sequences of Star Trek Next Gen, sold for 20 times the estimated sale price during a Christie's auction of 1,000 lots from CBS Paramount Television Studios.
So it was the movie model.
It was the movie model.
From the motion picture.
But also from the TV show and intro. So, like, in the original Star Trek TNG intro where the ship goes by, that was the ship that they used.
No, it was from the original movie.
Well, yeah, but it also says was also used in the pilot and title sequences of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Huh. Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen the title sequence for TNG. Yeah.
But it only has the Enterprise D in it. There's only one ship in that.
I don't know.
Anyway, keep going.
Anyway. Aaron was about to whip out his geek gun. You died.
Hello, episode.
It is enormous.
Telegraph explains hundreds of fans dressed as characters from the series, just like Aaron, packed Christie's main sales room in Manhattan for the sale while staff donned Trek-style costumes to take telephone bids.
And
wow,
those guys have enough money to pay for this shit?
Yep.
I know they were selling the
Trekkies
captain's...
come in all social brackets.
I know they were selling, like, the captain's chair, and it was some, like, enormous amount, and it wasn't even the original. It was the one they built for the Tribble episode in Deep Space Nine.
Right. Now, I like Enterprise, but I'm not the biggest Enterprise fan, but the sub things that sold, these are the things that I thought were, ooh, cool. The 3-day sale, which also saw fans of the cult TV series shell out 214,000 pounds for a model Klingon bird of prey. I thought that was badass, even though it's a really a Romulan vessel. And 105,000 pounds for a spacesuit worn by Bones in the Tholian web.
Oh.
Generated a total of £3.8 million, which is about $5 million.
That's amazing.
Was it going to charity or was it going to some?
No, it's going to Christie's and CBS.
What's Christie's?
Christie's is just the auction house.
Why would Christie's get that money?
They get a cut.
They get a cut.
Oh well.
They get a percentage, like 10 or 15%.
Yeah,
it's a lot actually.
Yeah.
To have a big room with put some chairs up there.
Yep.
No, because Christie's also brings in a higher. If it's at Christie's, they bring in a higher. And bitter.
Yep.
Okay.
No, it's
huge.
It's
Are you going to Christie's? Okay, I wouldn't go to any other auction room.
Uh-oh.
I mean,
you're going to get mail about this, man. It's true.
Oh,
it's huge.
Who's a big Christie fan out there? Please email me and flame me, assholes. I mean, come on.
You have a Christie's real estate around the corner from you.
Yeah.
So.
What are they going to do? Are they going to hunt us down?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Do they
know
where
you live?
They know
Aaron.
Where you live, Aaron.
Right,
they probably sold your house.
All right, Don.
Subsidiary.
All right. So I have an interesting news story. Border security.
Border
security.
Borders.
Not normally what you'd consider to be a very geeky subject.
No.
But how about if a candidate for Congress marched a mariachi band and several elephants across the border to prove how porous our borders are?
No way.
Yes. And to top it all off,
if they had a robot with him, it'd be geeky.
The congressional candidate who did it was Raj from The Apprentice, who is running for, I believe it's state Congress for, I think it's a state position. But apparently this guy went down to the border and he was just...
So did he do it from Mexico into the United States?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In Texas, I believe. So he goes down there and he's planning on filming, he's planning on following a illegal immigrant as they smuggle themselves across the border to show for a promo video how easy it is to get into the United States. And while he was doing that, he watched some guy jump into the river and swim across the border underneath a checkpoint. And he was just like, this is ridiculous. This is the easiest there's no security here whatsoever. So right. to prove a point, he went out and he rented a group, I think it was three elephants from a local circus and had a mariachi band play as they marched across the border. And nobody ever came.
He rented them in Mexico. He didn't bring the elephants into Mexico, did he?
I believe... Okay.
I mean, how did he get into Mexico?
I will get into that in a moment. Now... So you have to – all of this is going to be in an upcoming hilarious. Commercial for his campaign.
Who right? shit on our border?
Now, the Border Patrol had a response to this where basically they're saying, well, look, he actually has no idea how the border works. And we don't consider that to be a failed security issue because all three of those elephants were brought into custody afterwards and flea-dipped and held into quarantine for the standard amount of time necessary. And he was marching them across the border to a private ranch on the border, which is not illegal.
Okay.
So the whole point's moot, but...
Wait, no. They're so full of shit.
Yeah, that's because...
That's what they're saying.
It is completely illegal to bring in... Any type of animal...
Any type of animal or any illegal person
without going through proper checks.
Well, they're claiming that the elephants were flea dipped and held in quarantine. That is the procedure.
Yeah, but still, if I have a house on the border, I can't invite the entire Mexican army through there and say, "Well, it's a private property."
Not because they made him do it. I mean, they had no idea he even came through.
So go read the article. Is all I'm saying.
What they didn't know is that stuffed into the ass of the elephant was a small Mexican guy who was a mule carrying heroin.
Wow.
It was like a turducken.
It's like a turducken, yeah.
Gross.
A turducken?
Yeah, it's where you put a hen inside a duck inside a turkey.
It's a game hen stuffed inside of a duck, inside of a chicken.
No. This look that you see on my face is not because I didn't get the concept, okay? It's because I didn't get the concept of why.
The premise of it is that all the fatty things are inside the turkey. So as it cooks, the juice from the hen goes out into the duck that goes out into the chicken that goes out into the turkey, and it's supposed to make the ultimate taste sensation.
It's good. And then in between all those animals, you put stuffing.
Right.
And at the very end, if you're really good, you put a little egg.
So you guys have heard of the video game Bully that's going to come out at some point?
Yeah, Bully.
From the same guys that made Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, all those type of things.
The one that was attacked by name only by Jack Thompson. Well, mainly Jack Thompson.
Well, in fact, Jack Thompson is
an asshole.
And suing Bully, saying it's a public nuisance. You know, I think he's saying basically that this game is going to be Columbine. You're going to have people shooting people and blowing people's heads off. So he's been suing it.
Yeah, what's his reason for that guy going in and shooting the Amish girls? Come on, never mind.
Because Bully. So, Bully's coming out.
Because Bully, yeah. Because the Amish were watching Bully.
As part of the suit, what's interesting is that the judge has basically just sort of made them hand over the game. And he literally has to spend 100 hours playtesting the game.
Well, he's already done it.
Oh, has he already done it?
The judge didn't have to play. They sent a representative to play it in front of him.
Oh, is that what it was?
And I guess what the judge was doing is deciding whether he was going to put the game on hold so that they could have a trial.
Right.
Which to me sounds illegal.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Why is
it not? To say that, to decide whether you're going to ban something in the United States or not, I'm sorry, but that's constitutionally illegal.
No, you can absolutely put a restraining order on anything you want.
It's called an injunction.
Right.
Injunction. Yeah,
if it's based off something that's legal, to say, I don't want you to sell this book because I don't like it.
Well, there are certain things that you
can. Yeah, if it is directly inciting people to violence, it can be banned.
But no, you cannot.
Directly.
Yes.
What? If you are going to publish a paper saying everyone should go outside and kill everyone on 3rd Street,
you can publish
that is illegal.
No, it is not.
Aaron, it is.
Aaron,
inciting
so
someone
wrong.
To violence is
Aaron,
illegal.
It is
Aaron,
not illegal.
Aaron, you're absolutely wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
Name something like that has been banned in the United States of America.
I could go on and find out.
Multiple people have been arrested on white power websites for inciting other people to go out and do bombings.
All I know that has happened is that if a crime has happened, that people have been been tried as inciting it. In other words, saying you're part of, you help the crime, you are plotting the crime. Okay, but you can write it and publish it.
Aaron, we've had a huge discussion about
this. You guys were wrong.
No, look, and I went and looked it up.
All right, fine. Okay? Well, I'll look
and
it up.
And I have taken a law class where we had very big discussions.
Just because
on
of
it.
This discussion?
And the, well, no, I mean,
Peter must be right. He went to night school.
Look, basically, freedom of speech does not give you the ability to say or do anything you want to do.
I understand that. Okay.
So you are limited. You are limited in the sense that you're only protected in doing political speech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's, I don't think, is right either.
You can be limited in terms of obscenity. You can't. You certainly can't say.
No, you can say anything you want to.
No, you cannot.
All right, we got to look this up. We'll do this later because I know you're wrong.
For example, you can say "fuck the police" because that's political speech.
Okay,
but you can't say "I want to," I'm not even going to say something.
Okay, for example, Penn and Teller has a show called Bullshit,
mm-hmm.
and they call people assholes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is their right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hold on. Calling people asshole, that's not illegal. That's an FCC violation.
Now, I know. Okay.
That just – it's not illegal to say – to expose your breasts at the Super Bowl.
Well,
it is not
telling,
illegal.
You guys are telling me that I can't say – that there's obscenity laws.
Well, for example, I could not go out there with a T-shirt of, people having sex.
You can.
No, you
might
can't.
Be, you might if people you, around you think that's obscene, there might be an assembly law, but you can say "fuck you" on your T-shirt. That is your right to say to wear that shirt. I'm sorry, it is.
You could actually probably they could probably arrest you and make you take that off.
No, you I don't think say, you can.
I think they can.
Your law class was.
I think you're incorrect.
I think you're incorrect
because,
about
no,
that.
No, because here's the thing. Because this is what I well
they can eject you from private areas.
Maybe I'm remembering this incorrectly, but this is what I remember. They had a big suit over someone wearing a shirt that said "fuck the police,"
right?
And it was based on obscenity law.
Okay.
And specifically, they said that he was protected because that was political speech.
Mm-hmm.
The implication of saying that specific thing that it's protected because it's political speech means that if it had not been political speech, it would have been illegal based on obscenity.
All right, we're going to have to look this
up. The second side of this is...
I think it's incorrect because when I was in New York however many weeks ago, they had 10 shirts which were all fuck you right now,
Matt, just because those shirts exist doesn't actually mean that they're legal. It just means that people
choose
not
to. But we're also getting very far away from the original point, which is what... It was not an obscenity issue. It was incitement to violence, is illegal.
You can't.
For example, it is completely illegal on this broadcast, and I am not extolling the word coming out of my mouth in a moment. I am saying a statement that is illegal to make.
Mm-hmm.
The statement that is illegal is, "Let's go kill the president."
That is illegal.
That is an illegal statement.
I know that.
But that is also extended to, "Let's go kill your next door neighbors." That is also illegal.
Hmm. I think we have to look this up because I don't believe that. I don't think that's true.
Well, you also can't shout fire in a crowded theater.
Okay,
because that would also cause.
I know that there are limitations.
I think we're talking about the difference between publishing and writing, as in terms of incitement and what.
No, in public speaking,
I think I can write a book,
as opposed to what is public speaking and inciting a crowd to violence.
But you have to come up with a definition of a crowd.
Actually, if you write something or you say something, it's the same thing. I mean, if you're inciting
but
someone,
then
it can be defamation, it can be incitement.
No, because writing down "I want to kill the president" in your notebook and not publishing it and putting it on your shelf is not illegal.
That's a specific thing. No, that is illegal.
Well, no, only if they break into your house and they can use it as evidence against you later.
Right.
But that's a one specific thing. Okay, let's get back to Bully. So you think that Jack Thompson has legs to stand on saying that if this game does incite violence, that it should be that it can be made illegal, that there's actually a law that would help him out?
Oh, I think he does have a leg to stand on.
So Grand Theft Auto borders on being illegal, you think, in the United States of America?
Well, with the current political frenzy based around it, the school shootings, and the current support that an injunction would have from the Congress, It doesn't surprise me that an injunction could happen, yes.
Let me put it this way.
But that would still be illegal. Just because some judge wants it doesn't mean that that's
legal. An injunction is never illegal, you know?
No.
An injunction is just something for the court to have enough time to figure out what is legal.
I still think that you're crazy, but...
We'll figure it out. We'll publish it on the forums. Or
finish your article.
That was it. I just thought it was. Really,
but the judge ruled that he's not gonna. The game can be published because apparently, the game is nothing like what Jack Thompson wanted it to be. Jack Thompson wanted it to be a big bloodbath, and it's not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not at all.
So. Well, of course. I mean, these, you know, pardon the language, but these old fogies in Congress have never played a video game younger than Pong. You know,
but Jack Thompson is just right now. All he wants is he's not doing any of this for anybody's.
Of course,
protection.
He's after a cheap boost to his reputation in the election season.
Yeah. He has made his entire life is based off of this bullshit. He's been trying to ban music since the 70s.
And if the younger generations voted, we'd have a very different face on Congress. You know, but the fact is, most people under 25 don't vote. You know?
Right. Yeah, that is a problem. Get out there and vote, a-holes.
Damn it.
I'm calling our audience now.
I'd like to remind people of the Video Game Voters Network out there. We had a post to it in the past. I'll see if I can scrounge up the link for Peter to throw back up there. It's an association of people who are trying to coordinate their votes to support video game rights. So,
all right.
Sick Peter Olive. Sick him. I'm sending my dog, attack dog.
Yeah,
Peter.
Aaron's very frightening attack dog. Anyway, so I figure everyone knows this, but Google is going to buy YouTube for $1.65
billion. Billion dollars.
That's a lot of frickin' moolah.
I know.
How does YouTube make money? I don't get that.
It doesn't.
It spends like a couple million a month.
Yeah. Basically on an advertisement, they get quite a bit in because, you know, people click on their posts.
Are there any ads on there?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember seeing them.
They're in between. They're interstitials, stuff like that. They're around some of the videos.
No, it's
especially if other people use their videos and reference back to them and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
This is interesting because I can't decide if this is a genius move on their part.
Yep.
Or an extraordinarily dangerous move on their part because...
I know.
You see, as people have pointed out, the reason that YouTube hasn't had the pantsuit off of them...
Is because they have no money.
It's because they have no money. Google has money.
Yeah, a lot of it, too.
Yeah.
It'll probably change the face of YouTube a lot, is what I expect.
Yeah. What they're saying is basically YouTube has about 46% share of the online video market. That's kooka crazy.
Yeah.
And basically, for Google, what they're saying it gives them is the ability to tap into the potentially lucrative online video and social networking markets. So, I mean...
It sounds like the executives just heard those words. What? Social networking? That's in right now, right? That's great. Let's go.
Aren't they also trying to get MySpace as well?
Yeah.
I heard they were trying to do a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, they're saying...
MySpace is owned by Fox.
Google can buy anything.
Maybe I messed up.
They're going to have to really throw down some money.
No, maybe it's not MySpace. Maybe it's that other one, the new one that's up and coming. You know what I'm talking about?
Mindy's on it.
Tribes?
No, I don't know. Anyway, analysts have criticized Google for relying too much on advertising tied to keyword searches. Basically, they're saying it could really make Google an incredibly dominant force. However, everybody's saying what Peter was saying, which is basically that now Google becomes the huge target to get sued. But who knows?
I think that I read recently, I can't remember the details, but I hear that YouTube and CBS are in talks about defining what they consider to be okay on as far as their content on YouTube. Yeah, I think part of the reason why these companies haven't sued is because they've found that it actually helps them out. Because I know for a fact that for a while there, Saturday Night Live was calling up YouTube and saying, you have to take off our skits because they're ending up on YouTube. And that stopped because they found out that the ratings for Saturday Night Live went up ever since YouTube people have been posting on
YouTube.
It's
free advertising. I mean, the Colbert Report is like, you know, go, post us. We love you.
That's what I was just about to say is I see stuff up from the Colbert Report all the time. And it
Colbert
actually,
Report and Daily Show are like staples on
there. And it just occurred to me that, you know, I would really start watching that show. I'm close to doing it already.
Yeah.
Just because of that.
That's great. So, yeah, Saturday Night Live's Now they are fine with posting their skits on there.
Dipshits. Martin Paikkanen, an analyst with Global Crown Capital, said that Google's purchase of YouTube could be viewed as a preemptive strike against Yahoo, which has been rumored to be in talks to purchase social networking site Facebook.
Facebook.
That was the other one. So,
Facebook.
Who knows? I mean, everybody thinks it's crazy for Google to do it. They're talking about Mentos basically becoming the sponsors of all those guys who did the Mentos and the Diet Coke videos.
What, I'm going to be a little, like, mildly annoyed if I try and pull up a YouTube page and there's that delay because the advertisement comes up and they make you wait a second or two before the rest of the page will load.
Watch the
that
ad.
Would just mean that someone else would take over.
Yeah. That'll be a mild annoyance, right? Mm-hmm. But if they start doing what like iTube, not iTube,
MTV?
iFilm does,
right.
Where they slap a commercial in front of everything
right in front
you want to
watch. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
done.
Out.
Done. Finished.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, Adam Finch does the
gone.
Same thing.
Yeah, those, it's hard. It's impossible to watch those.
And what's worse is that they do the same commercial
every time.
Every time.
Every
so
time.
If you want to watch five movies, you're like, I don't want to watch five movies.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm really considering of taking all my bookmarked movies from YouTube and downloading them because I have just any day now I just feel like YouTube's going to completely change and we're not going to be able to reach because I've got some great ones. Yeah. Some great ones.
Everybody final thing, thinks they do.
Chad Hurley, co-founder and CEO of YouTube, said the Google deal will allow YouTube to focus even more on copyright protection since Google has more financial and technological resources to dedicate to the issue. But I'm bummed.
There you go.
Who you knows? Have another one? We need to wrap this
up. I have a very small one, just real quick. Everyone knows that like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcanon, I think it's called, are basically their Christian 12-step programs to help people to get off
of
drugs.
Yeah.
Well, not really kind of. It's pretty directly. They don't say Jesus.
Right.
But it's very much kind of a Christian monotheistic, you know, use that, you know, get help from the one above.
Right.
Well, this group here, we
hear it, whatever it is.
We all need to go to on and on and on and on. People who just can't stop shutting up, just talk and talk.
I don't even know what to say to you.
On and on and on and on. Come on.
I would expect that from that guy over there.
He's pointing at me, Matt. All right, keep going.
All right. So, but now there is a new religion on the block that is trying to help people get off of their narcotics.
I'm
going to
guess Scientologists.
Why, yes. And can you guess where their program is currently being instituted?
Los Angeles.
Prisons.
Ooh.
Currently, it's being considered. It's the test programs have been finished up, and it may or may not be instituted soon in an Oklahoma City.
I need to hire a marketing executive who's a Scientologist because they're sharp.
But here's the problem. I mean, go to the article for the full details. The actual counselors of the prison system are trying to say, why in hell would we want to use this new system? According to the studies that they've released, the Scientology Narcanon has a one-third success rate, whereas the more traditional 12-step program that they currently use in the jails has a 66% success rate. So, but apparently there may be some funding issues where, you know, the 33% group may be significantly cheaper because of outside support. So just check out the article. I think it's a very sneaky backdoor way for the new religion on the block to start imposing some belief systems on a captive audience, so to speak.
Wow. Yeah. Well, like the Christians have
so to speak?
Yeah.
Like the Christians have a...
Well, and that's my
monopoly
problem.
On sneaking
a 12-step a 12-step program based on any kind of deist system, I don't think should be in a prison system. But if it's the only one that works, then let it.
Hey, if it works, it works.
If it works, it works. Great. I mean, I'm not going to fight it if it works, but I don't like the idea of. Well, I don't know.
I actually
that's a different
that's
conversation.
That's because you're a heathen, Don.
I'm not a heathen.
Okay.
I actually would love to see
Jesus still loves you.
He doesn't love me. So I'd really love to see a group of meditators and, you know, yoga, tai chi. Like, I'd really love to see
how them in prison.
No, I'd love to see it.
getting their ass kicked.
No, I would love to see someone like that go in and see how that compared in terms of rehabilitation on a total level.
All right, gentlemen. I want you all to get into Down Dog.
Yeah, you look really hot in Down Dog.
No, but I mean, like, I really would love to see if you did that, if there were people that didn't go to jail as often, you know, just as a general thing. Because, I mean, you know, a lot of things that you learn from those type of things are ways to sort of handle anger, emotion. You know,
on the other hand, I don't really want people going in and teaching convicted felons how to fight.
Right. Sorry to just be weird.
No,
weirdly,
tai chi is. I mean, listen. I've done tai chi for four or five
years.
I'm
aware of what tai chi is.
Right.
Okay. But tai chi, for those who don't know, that's that stuff that you see the old men doing, where they're moving like an inch a minute. You know, it's like really slow. Yes. I could beat your ass.
Tai Chi is also the basis for most of the other Chinese martial arts.
I understand, but
it's not like you're going to come
out.
It's
an entry drug.
It's not like you're going to go to the 24-hour fitness, get the Tai Chi lesson from Bunny, and then come out and whip some ass.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Trust me. I mean, like, you know, I'm not going to be able to go and fight someone right now, not unless we're all moving at Tai Chi speeds. Okay?
It's like,
you know, it's like,
hold
it's
on. Like, you're like going a little fast, Buster. If it's like a scene from The Matrix,
exactly.
Slow down.
Pete would whoop some butt.
Yeah, I could lay some Tai Chi down on your ass, but other than that, yeah.
Deep for Vendetta type of, you know, action scene, but that's about it.
Actually, sort of weirdly, Peter is being The Matrix. He's bending backwards.
Yeah, this is good radio. Let's
this
move on.
Awesome. Just I was doing some research on the Boxer Rebellion Chinese thing, and basically one of the things of the Boxers, you know, basically being martial artists and running into the countryside, was that there were all these Christian missionaries that were out there proselytizing, mm-hmm. and there was lots of violence that was occurring that had never occurred in these societies before, because they were bringing these sort of Christian doctrines that were completely disagreeing with the Confucian doctrines that were already in place.
All right, we need to wrap this
not
up. It's
weird.
Already 15 minutes in.
Okay, oh, sorry. Okay, one last thing.
Sorry.
It's got to be fast.
It's got to be fast. Right. News of the weird. Okay, so you know that plane that crashed into the building in New York?
Yeah.
Right? The woman who was there? Okay, I don't know if this woman is the luckiest person or the unluckiest person, because the plane engine went right into her bedroom like moments before she walked in there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember in 1986 when the Macy's Day Parade, they lost control of the Cat in the Hat? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And it knocked over a light pole and hit somebody. That was that same woman. It hit her in the head and knocked her unconscious for a month and a half.
That's like Final Destination.
I mean,
like,
how,
fate is like,
how in the hell does she have this happen to her?
The funny part is it's all air to ground attacks.
Exactly.
It's air to ground attacks. She should definitely wear a helmet and keep her eyes up.
And live in a basement. You know?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Moving on to our geek topic.
Geek topic.
All right. Don, Peter, you two have probably the most prepared on this. So what is our topic?
I don't think there's all that much preparation for this one. This is going to be an opinion episode from four people who just have opinions, and probably I don't think any of us have actually really gotten our feet wet in this lifestyle.
Really. So if you want to turn off the podcast now and move on to another podcast.
But listen to us blather and talk about this idea. The concept this week that we're discussing is internet dating, relationships on the web, virtual romance, virtual friendship, virtual relationships in general.
Mm-hmm. Y'all.
Now, we've had a guest on in the past who is a World of Warcraft widow.
My cousin.
Who lost her husband to someone he met over...
who he met online in World of Warcraft. And I'm so sorry, Sean. The big signifier that told her that it was going was that he bought a stuffed animal with, and he got a name etched on it.
It was his,
and it was
horse.
Her mount from World of Warcraft. He had bought it for her.
He recreated
her.
A stuffed animal based off of her
based horse. Off of her mount in World of Warcraft.
The sad part is I hear that I'm like, oh, that's kind of sweet. You know?
Oh, Don.
If it's, well, you know, if you're not a married man.
If you're not a married man.
driving.
Sparkles!
I think it was a name kind of like Sparkles.
A friend of mine also had a similar experience over Evercrack, where he came back home one day and found his wife was fully packed and moving out of the house. And she was leaving him for a man she had met online in Texas over Evercrack.
Wow.
I have a same similar story. A woman, strangely enough, it was another woman. This guy, she wasn't working. Her husband went off to work every day. And she was just at home on the computer all the time playing the game. And one morning he woke up to check his email before he went off to work. And her email was up and there was all these letters, you know, I wish I wasn't stuck in this marriage. I want to, you know, spend the rest of my life with you. But it was this person from Texas. Evercrack or...
Wow. Or okay, now, here's a question that I have. I can understand, and this is to be a little chauvinistic, I can understand women doing this a little more than guys, because I feel that women are less sort of visually oriented on what, you know, on what they're getting. And if they're receiving something in terms of, this is a nice guy, he takes care of my needs, he's listening to me, he's hearing my problems, I can see it a little bit more. But
I would disagree, because what we're talking about is online video games, right? And I would say that people who play this sort of game probably, you know, especially an MMORPG,
right,
have a little bit more imagination and live a little bit more in the world of filling in the blanks.
Okay. I don't even think you need to be a game player for a guy to sit there on the other line, you know, typing in a chat room and dreaming about what that person looks like and getting more and more convinced as the weeks roll on. That person is
the hottie hot. Well, that's what I was going to ask, is whether or not as these games get more graphically intense and more graphically, you know, perfect, everybody starts looking like manga, are we going to see more and more and more of this?
But a lot of people who are online dating aren't looking for necessary looks and stuff anyway. I mean, a lot of eHarmonies and all that, people generally want to, they're looking
for similar interests.
Yeah, they want to...
In more long-term interest is what you're saying. Right?
Well, most of the dating ones are definitely long-term. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise you just go to Craigslist and look up the personals if you want short-term.
Yeah, we have a very good friend who met her husband. Craigslist? On Craigslist. Actually, yes, on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Teen. Do you know somebody?
Yeah, Teen, the woman you made fun of who hates you now. Teen.
Oh, the girl who rolled the dice and got married based off a die roll.
Yeah. She met her husband.
Met her husband on Craigslist.
Yes.
Gee, match made in heaven. I mean, this is like
real. You know, they're doing really well.
Okay, I'm very happy.
I gotta say, they're doing really well.
And she got a couch.
I'm sorry,
too.
I've never met this person, but I have such a picture in my head right now.
You know, I gotta tell you, your picture is so inaccurate.
It would never juxtapose.
I can just tell you that for sure. You'd meet the person.
Small, petite, spunky, very kind of free spirit, like off the cuff, impetuous.
Yeah, you
flies off the handle.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
doesn't fly off the handle.
I am the king of the cold read, my friend. Okay. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's great online dating. He can tell with one email.
You have
exactly
no
what
idea.
He's like, you're a hairy old man.
Get away from me! You're a hairy old man. I can tell.
But I only told you my breast size. Well, yeah, it's interesting that we bring this topic up, because LA Times had an article on this recently.
Okay,
you know,
this
specific thing, literally 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And they told a couple of stories about different people, and one of the stories is really interesting. Basically, this guy who lives in Lansing, Michigan, meets this woman in Cairo. He's a real estate guy. She's a doctor, and you know, they start talking on Skype. Okay, mm-hmm. And a month later, they're married. You know,
wow,
they're really happy, apparently, from what they describe it, the way they describe it, and she's pregnant. Okay, and he basically
Skype is getting seriously advanced.
I want that Microsoft attachment.
Yeah, what they were talking about. Yeah, what they were talking about is
now with a baster.
The article is talking mostly about how Skype is used to create relationships today, and they talked about one of the things that's interesting is they said that some of the problems that come from talking on the internet, like for example, just IMing back and forth. You know, you really don't get a real sense of character there. You know, it's really easy to project, to envision a person. And, you know, they said that you could do, 50 emails and not really get a sense of someone's character. You could do 2 phone calls and you get a lot more sense of who the person is.
Especially if their voice sounds like, hi!
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you can hear, you know.
My name is Marge.
people don't spend quite as much time thinking about what they're going to say, you know, planning it, preparing it, making it look right, you know, all those type of things.
Like, you get the ones those like voice modulators that changes your voice.
Exactly.
Oh, so like an anime character.
Yeah.
They said that there's another thing they talk about. There's a thing called Skype Me. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but basically it says...
Sounds like an epithet.
It says you on Skype, you just click something and it says, random people call me.
Oh, yeah. It opens up to a random, to a public.
Yeah. Public.
Really?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, it's...
Actually, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I found it really interesting.
I did... there was one of the original VO voiceover IPs. God, it was a long time ago. And... God, it was college or something. I mean, it was a long time ago. And we'd set it up on the PC. And, you know, it was a lot of work just to get this thing to just run correctly. And they had, like, five people in the lobby. Because that's the only people who could figure it out. And you'd click on, it was a guy in Germany, like, hello. Is it raining over there? It's raining here. No. All right, bye. And then you'd hang up. You're like, what the hell are we going to talk about?
No, you didn't. You got off the phone. You went, we talked to Germany.
Yeah, on my computer.
It's interesting that you're asking what you might talk about. There's certainly a seedier side to Skype Me.
Oi.
See, that's
some
the
female, I'm quoting here. Some female users complain that signing onto Skype Me mode invites a barrage of men looking for phone sex who send vulgar pictures or messages.
How surprising.
Yeah. Hmm. One user complained on an online forum, I'm sure that at least half the people who have Skyped me could probably be considered clinically insane.
I'm stunned.
God.
Okay, now here's a personal
but
geek.
I mean, it's just one of the things that I can't help thinking about when we talk about internet dating. Mm-hmm. The concept of talking over the internet and meeting people over the internet is the lack of personal responsibility. It's like you don't have to own the things you say.
I think, you know? part of that is not having, like, now they have cameras,
right?
Like, I have a friend, he listens to the show, good friend of mine, he I went to high school with him. Mm-hmm. And we each have iChat cameras hooked up to our Macintoshes, and sometimes at night I'll be on the computer and I'll see him on iChat, you know, click it on, say hello, window opens up. And we'll talk. I'll be working on the computer talking. It's like he's in the room. It's like back in high school again. It's freaking bizarre.
You've never left the camera on by accident? Like,
you can turn a little dial and it closes up.
Okay.
And a little green light comes
on. We've already established that you edit naked, so I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, oh, my eye!
Everyone's going to hack my IP address.
The blood.
Okay, you know what's weird is that, have you ever seen the movie Demolition Man?
Yes.
Really, really whack-ass bad movie, but they have two things in that. One, they have this video phone that happens as this girl comes on and she's butt-ass naked, and she's like, oh, hi, I wanted to, oh, sorry, and click, goes off. And the other thing is they mentioned that Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California. But I'm just saying, Demolition Man has, you know, has.
No, I think he was president.
He was president. But they knew he was governor of California before that.
I just want the seashells.
All right. Anyway, back to internet dating. So,
Now here's the question I have is, have any of you guys, before you were married or in a relationship, have any of you guys chatted online with the and been like, hey, I'm getting somewhere, this is an interesting person?
Yeah, I before I was like, I didn't have a computer really. I was too poor before I so I when I finally got all my toys and stuff, I was already dating and married, so it's like I didn't have even the chance.
I never
to do
did it,
it
sexually. Okay. I never did it with the goal of sex in mind,
right?
But I was on,
so you've
I was
never
on the
cybered
internet. No, I'm not a good enough typist.
Okay.
You know?
He can't type with one hand.
I can't type with my left hand.
Good. You know?
Yeah. But I was on, and like when I suggested the concept of internet dating, I was sort of thinking relationships too. I was online on CompuServe back when. And that was like one of the really early ones that had like chat rooms and internet chatting and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't very often. It was pretty often that I would get a message from someone saying like, oh, you're a writer in New York. What's that like? You know, oh, I want to be a writer. Oh, you're an actor. I want to be an actor. Blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, you just be talking with, like, you someone you find out is, like, an 18-year-old kid in Iowa who
I've been on chats and, you know, had normal conversations.
Right, but with these, what I'm saying is, like, that was so early on in the industry. It wasn't like there were a ton of actors online.
Right.
So I developed a friendship, but... A friendship with these people where we didn't really know that much about each other's life, but we knew about each other's personalities a little bit.
Right.
You know, and it's just weird to me to this day, I have no idea what they looked like. Huh. I probably don't even know their names.
But they're actual names. You know, they're actual names. Right. You know, their online avatar or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I never cybered, but it was always like I would get into these conversations and there'd
be. Why are you smiling like that?
Well, Peter's thinking. He's thinking.
Tell me a second.
I would get to these moments where we would be about to, and I think I chickened out every single time.
How do you chicken out on a chat room?
I would leave or like because I didn't I would
mom's
suddenly,
calling
I would suddenly get these feelings that it was another a 60-year-old hairy dude in some room with hair coming out his ears and I would just go God I just if
that
I
makes
ever...
you gay by the way if you chat that's a
well it's interesting trick. I had a friend who went to Hampshire College who was a straight white man right who went online and had a online persona called Tasha,
right?
Who was this black female dominatrix, and it wasn't a sexual thing for him. He just enjoyed it. It was fun.
But he would talk. He would sex talk with other people.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a
that was a
thing.
Sexual thing.
I'm sorry. But straight guy.
But
that doesn't happen.
Not a sexual thing. He'd be doing it in the room, like, well, his girlfriend's next to him watching TV. She told me about it, you know? Like,
let's call this guy back up because things have dramatically changed in his life since then.
This was a straight boy. Okay. Yeah. This was a very straight boy.
He's now black.
Okay, so I've never cybered, but I did go on about 3 dates when I was 18 or 19 with people that I met on the internet.
Really? Okay, so how'd that go?
2 of them went all right. The third is kind of a funny story. The third was not. I was not even looking for a date. It was nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on a AOL chat site.
Yeah.
And someone came on and was talking about being a masseuse, and I was interested in that because I thought it might be a way to make a living while I was a writer. So I asked, you know, how long does it take to become a masseuse? So then she starts asking me a bunch of questions. And asks me out. And I'm thinking this could be really bad.
How could that be bad?
Well, I just, you know, you just don't, you never know. But okay. I said,
you have that vibe.
I'd heard her describe herself, and you know,
right.
She's blonde, petite, and I was like,
I'm blonde, petite.
Yeah. So I sighed. At the very least, it might be an interesting story.
Right.
And
I
said, okay. And it turned out to be an interesting story. So
who knew you'd be able to fill 3.5 minutes of internet radio content with that story?
Some point. I go to pick her up, and I knock on the door, and this guy, you know, her roommate comes out, and I ask if she's there, and the guy gives me the funniest look I've ever seen. Like, what are you doing here? You know? So he goes away, and then she comes out. Okay. Her hair looked like it hadn't been washed in several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde, stringy.
Kind of clumpy, cool, hippie chick, dready type of cool monkey girl.
No, like Critter from...
Critter? Yeah, because that would
be
awesome.
Not a good thing. She was very heavy.
Okay.
She had bad skin.
Okay.
She had thick bottle cap glasses.
So it was almost like someone put on a costume.
Like a nerd costume. Sounds like I'm exaggerating. It sounds like I'm like making this up to make it a better story. No, like she had thick bottle cap glasses. Like,
okay.
And I shit you not, one of her eyes looked that way.
For all of you who's in Radioland, Pete is pointing behind him.
Yes. One of her eyes looked sideways.
She was half possessed.
Now I'm sitting here and I'm kind of thinking, all right, well, you know what? I mean, there's not clearly this. Nothing going to be going on that level, you know.
But,
you know.
You're not having a the chemistry is not happening right off the bat.
Chemistry is not happening right off the bat. But I thought to myself, maybe she'll be a really cool person and, you know, can be a friend.
Yeah.
You know? So
I love Peter. He's so nice.
So we go out.
I'm so not
And we go out to dinner. And it is the most painful conversation I've ever had in my entire life.
Because you couldn't type, probably because she couldn't type you what she wanted to say.
Because there was, I mean, like she could not speak. She could not get words out of her mouth. It was like, you know, it was, I mean.
I hate that. Okay, I just can't stand that.
So, anyway, you know, drove her home. A couple weeks later, she emailed me, or IM'd me, that she was getting kicked out of her house in She's kind of hinting like she needs a place
oh,
to stay.
God.
And I'm just going, gee, that's really terrible. I feel so bad for you.
Oh.
And she's like, well, maybe I'll just have to go down and sleep on the beach. And I type back, that sounds like fun.
Oh.
Well, I mean, come on. You can't sit there and take somebody in that you found on the internet,
no,
for God's
no
sake.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, I guess that's the danger. It's like, you know, you need to – how do you establish that just because you can communicate on the internet via typing, mm-hmm. you know, and obviously if you're going to want to take it to the next level to speak, you're going to be able to get across some of your personality mm-hmm. that you're typing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guarantee that that
right,
person has that personality to back up
what's
what coming
date
out of their
is
fingers?
For. Go on a date. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't. That doesn't mean your first date doesn't mean you're going steady and you're engaged. Go on a date, and if it doesn't work out, you know, it's fine. It's
now,
all good.
Does this bring back in any way sort of old timey dating? You know, where you would
court arranged dating.
You would have a prearranged sort of courting period where you would exchange letters.
Well, isn't that exactly pretty much what like Match.com and all these other dating services are? They're basically yentas. They're you know, people who make their living going, he's a nice boy. You'll like him.
Match, make a match. Find me a...
Well, and you know, things have changed too. It's not like a bunch of computer guys.
Well, I guess that was the next question. Do you see any social stigma to internet dating?
I've got some hot girlfriends. Like some of my girlfriends are smoking hot and they have done some internet dating before. I'm like, really?
Does Maureen know about them?
Well, yeah. But you know,
well, girls who are friends, John.
You know what I mean. But some of those girls, I mean, I mean, if I was like, you know, if I was a single guy and I knew that those are the type of girls who are, and they're geeky, they're hot as hell. And
well, I think
on,
that's
I'm like,
a
wow.
That's a plus for geeks, though. I think like I still think that there is a minor stigma. I think it's much less than it used to be. Like I remember when we were little kids. People started placing classified ads for romantic partners, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, looking for a wife, blah, 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 blah. And at that point, there was a big stigma to someone who had to place an ad in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
I think you're right. There's still a stigma to this.
I think there's a small one, though, which I think works in a geek's favor because you're more likely to make a geek match with a geek. Like as you're saying, most of your female hot geeks are probably more willing to go online to
yeah, but I've got some pretty, I got some friends who are not geeks who are doing it as well.
Well, let me just bring up something from this article.
Mm-hmm.
It said that the stigma about meeting others online is fading, which I agree with. I definitely think that's true.
Oh, definitely.
And it said a recent study by the Pew Internet and American Life Project found that 74% of internet users who are single and looking for a partner have used the internet to further their romantic interests.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's, you know, and they also said
and
the majority...
Pornography doesn't count as a romantic interest.
No, I don't think so. And that the majority of adult internet users don't think that people who are involved in online dating are desperate.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think it's changing.
I just feel like this is ruining a part of our society. And that's specifically the story of how mom and pop met.
Well, but it used to be, go to a bar... Meet somebody, you know, buy a girl a drink, and then having to know about that person in 15 minutes and get the number, and then you're on a date. I mean, that's worse.
I mean, look, I think that this is actually – I think they're kind of great stories that someone met.
I clicked on your mom's online
profile. And I don't think that eliminates the meeting story. It just replaces it with the first date story.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Remember when your profile matched 37 points of my profile?
Remember when I laughed at the fact that you liked Warhammer 2?
Well, let's also talk. There's a sort of non-traditional dating that's happening also in an even more extreme way. Because, you know, we're talking about people who meet through the internet and then meet Physically.
Right.
Okay. Well, what about, I mean, this is another thing that they talk about here, which is there are people who meet through the internet and their whole relationship is entirely through the internet and it remains that way.
That means you're way too fucking busy.
You know, they talk about people who have watched movies together because, you know, this guy said, you know, he projected a movie and they would sit and watch the movie, you know, together. She'd watch on her computer or, you know, watch each other.
What scene
sleep.
Are you on now? What scene are you on now?
No. I'm saying that they would actually be watching the same movie. Just, you know, he turned the webcam towards the movie and they'd watch it together that way.
Lame.
You know, yeah.
Just start the DVDs at the same time.
Or
wait, rewind that part.
Actually, there's a great Mac software that links DVDs together. So you each fire up the software. You each put in the DVD. It synchronizes them. And then you guys can add a commentary track, kind of like a Mystery Science Theater, and it records it.
That's fun.
And then you can email that track to other people. When they put in a disc, they can watch your Mystery
Science
Theater.
We should do that as a gift for a Geek Christmas.
We were trying to do that way back when. We could never settle on a movie.
But the problem with that is, you know, here's
an interesting story. I just want to read this because this is pretty funny. It starts off by saying that one of the good things is that, you know, when you voice can be more revealing than email, it's harder for a 45-year-old man not to notice that he's talking to a 12-year-old girl and vice versa when you guys are talking on Skype or something like that. And that's what appealed to Marcel Janoteau, a 41-year-old from Montreal.
It's because his last name is Genital.
Janoteau, who gets tested in medical experiments for a living.
Oh, God.
And is a member of the Raelian movement, a religious group.
He's a member of the Raelian movement?
A religious group whose members believe in UFO in addition to proselytizing for human cloning.
Right near your house.
They're down the street from my old house.
Said he'd been burned.
Really?
Yes.
Where'd it go?
He said he'd been burned when he communicated with a woman online who put up false photos of herself and pretended that she was a millionaire.
Bitch ass.
Got burned by that.
He should take a lesson about lying on the internet because that boy should lie.
Damn it. Why didn't Jesus the Master Spirit tell me about this?
He decided to require from then on that anyone he dated over the internet have a web camera and a microphone so he could see her and hear that she was legitimate. He soon found Mimi Kwan, a 42-year-old nail technician in Guatemala who lives, by his count, 3,777 kilometers away. Kwan said she was immediately interested when Janoteau contacted her, especially when he sent photos of himself, something others didn't do. She said that she likes the fact that when she's dating, if she doesn't like the person, she can just turn the computer off and start talking to him, something harder to do when dating in person.
He has very pretty green card.
They've never met face-to-face, but they talk over Skype 4 hours a day and watch each other sleep using web cameras.
Oh,
God!
Creepy.
He's met her three children over Skype, and she's invited him to visit Guatemala.
Alrighty. Do we have anything else to say about this?
I don't know if I can top that.
Now, there's another guy who talks about meeting a very cool, hot, model British chick from Britain.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow.
So there's different sides to that is what I'm pointing out.
Yeah,
although I somehow suspect that the hot model type from Britain is a smaller percentage of the Skype me.
Animal testing dudes that are on
might
there.
Be a slightly larger, but you don't never know. You never know.
Alrighty. Anything else to say?
No, I don't think I think Peter is rendered me speechless.
Don just looks like bleary-eyed from the animal testing guy.
Just we'll go into – we know two different people who have been using dating services online.
Yes.
One of whom just got married to the man she met, and another one who's just having a good time with it, I think.
Oh, I know a lot of people. I know lots of folks on JDate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All righty.
So
if you have comments about yourself, we would love to do a follow-up to this episode based on your experiences. So please email us.
Details.
Yeah, either
juicy details.
And pictures. Yes, we want pictures and details. At geeks@geekson.com or go to the website at www.geekson.com. Go to our forum, sign in, and comment.
We are pressed for time, so there's no bit this week and no mailbag. But
I have a couple of mails.
Oh.
Just three?
We have mail.
There is no bit, but there is mail.
Jamie says, hi, guys. Not to pick, not to nit, or pick nits.
Oh, I know.
But your BSG overview.
Sorry.
Your frequent reference to President Laura Roslin as Jocelyn Elders, Don.
No.
That was you.
It was you.
Was it me?
It was you.
I thought you said it first and I followed your
no.
lead. Oh, crap. Damn it.
Was extremely distracting. I kept finding myself screaming, no, Jocelyn Elders is the former U.S. Surgeon General.
Geek card revoked!
Oh, my God. By the way, other than that small detail, you guys did a great job. That was Jamie.
I would love to see President Laura Roslin extolling the virtues of masturbation to the people on Galactica.
By the way, I gotta say, Aaron, you really called it in Battlestar Galactica when you talked about wanting to see what happened with the Emperor? The eggs that had been stolen.
I said they would
right
show up
on.
Soon.
You were right on.
Yeah, I figured they'd wait on it.
Dear Geeks, I'm happy to say that because of your program, I am no longer lonely.
Oh, perfect follow-up.
I have my share friends, however, none, that's right, zero of them, enjoy talking about geek material. I've adapted and watched sports and go to occasional party, but my heart truly lies in Wisterio and some other probably...
Westeros.
I haven't read those damn books yet.
Wisterio?
Damn Westeros. You.
Aaron.
It's Game of Thrones,
yeah,
right?
You just ruined his beautiful email.
Yeah. Westeros, yeah. Sorry, I haven't read them yet. I came across your site while searching for the George R. R. Martin interviews, one of the biggest fans of Fire and Ice. Anyway, he goes on to say that we kind of replace his... he feels like he can sit down with us and he's part of the conversation. Which
that's because we rock.
I think that's Alicia.
Or at least I do.
That was good.
But we are... one thing I want to talk about in the upcoming episode is there are some websites out there. This is not geek dating, but this is geek connections, gamer mm-hmm. geeks. Mm-hmm. In fact, somebody, a friend of mine has set up a really cool... It's called like Meeple People. I can't remember the exact... He's going
to
kill me.
But, we'll link to it. We'll link to it.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it. But we'll also talk about it. I'm going to try to... He tries to collect gamers where you can post the game... Where it's going to be, you email the person so you can get, grab gamers, collect them
idea.
In towns. Maybe I can get him on Skype. He can tell us all about it because it's a pretty good idea.
Because I want to play Kremlin again. So anyone out there who likes Kremlin, write me.
We should also do a link on maybe our website for people who want to talk about like interests and stuff like that. We got a couple of girls now.
You mean like geek dating on our site?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Don't give me that look. Come on.
Guys, all right. Let's close this one down.
So we'll talk to you all soon.
Play on, my geek weeks.
Have a good geek week, everybody.
Rock it out. Geek it out. Ooh.